Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
My name is Pastor Jeanette, and I'm one of the worship pastors here at Church of the Nazarene, and I'm honored to bring to you God's Word today. Go ahead and look, if you can, if you're able to, at this back screen, and take a look at this media that we're about to show here.
Okay, and they're going to watch you, okay? They're going to babysit you real quick because Mommy has to go do some stuff. I'm going to put these cookie doughs right here. And they're going to watch you, okay? They're going to babysit you real quick because Mommy has to go do some stuff. So just don't eat these until Mommy comes back, okay? Mommy will be right back. So I'm going to leave them here. And they're going to watch you, okay? They're going to watch you. But not till Mommy comes back, okay?
Here. I'll hold it.
Okay, don't eat them till Mommy comes back. I'll be right back, okay? Did you eat that? You didn't? You were waiting? Oh, you're such a good girl. You listened. Okay, go ahead, Halo can eat them now.
These are one.
Yep, did you listen?
A prize.
You got a prize.
She says, I got a prize. Oh man, who here is disciplined enough to have not eaten the cookie dough? Anybody disciplined enough? No one. You all would have eaten it. Yeah, you. It's amazing to see how discipline has changed over the years, right? I mean, I was disciplined differently than the generation before me. And today's children are disciplined differently than I was disciplined, right? But the truth is, most people have a natural desire for discipline because it brings structure, it brings support, it encourages personal growth, and it helps to achieve goals, right? But regardless of what kids might say, they strive on structure and on discipline. Would you agree with me? Yes, I hope you do. I can tell you how often the Lord has spoken to me when I've disciplined my own children. So often that there are times I'm talking to my kids and I have to stop for a second because what I'm actually saying to my children, the Lord is literally saying to me, right? And so when I was asked to preach this week and I saw that the message was on God's discipline, I was just kind of like, okay, God, I can do this because I have seen you discipline me as I disciplined my own children, which leads us to today's scripture. So here's the deal. You could look on the back screen or you could open YouVersion or your Bibles if you brought it with you. We're going to be at Hebrews 12 today as we end our study in Hebrews this week. And we're going to be starting in chapter 4. In the beginning here, we're going to go 4 through 13, or you can join us, of course, on YouVersion as we have an event there. The author describes the importance of leaving sin behind and running the race with endurance, right as we're about to begin here in verse 4. And he tells, the author is stating that, you know what? your lives haven't really been that difficult because the people around you have suffered much more persecution than you. So he tells them, listen, stop feeling sorry for yourself and be glad that you're being disciplined. Let's read together in verses 4-8. I'm going to read it in the NLT, and then I'm also going to read it in the Message. So hang tight with me. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure the divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you, as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Now, I'm going to read it to you one more time in the Message because I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need it in simpler terms, yes? So let's go ahead and listen to how it reads in the Message. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children and that God regards you as his children? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline. Don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you, and that's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment. It's training, the normal experience of children. Now, if you guys take a look here on the back screen, I want to explain this picture to you really quick. This picture is three, four-year-old Emily, my youngest daughter. Now, I want to explain to you first that I did not put her in a dunce cap. I'm not that mean, all right? We were on a school trip, and while we were on this school trip, it was like a children's museum. They had an area of a one-room schoolhouse, and there was a little corner there with a dunce cap, and it was simply a photo op. I said to her, go ahead and get in the corner and put on this dunce cap and make a sad face. And listen, she was a great actress even then, drama all the way, and she gave us that picture, right? I think many would agree that discipline is probably the hardest part of parenting. How many of you would agree with me on that? Discipline is the hardest part of parenting. And it wasn't until I became a parent that I realized I also say some of the very same things my parents said to me that I thought were just crazy when my parents said them to me, right? And as I'm reading in the book, in this chapter of Hebrews, I realize, you know what? I think the author of Hebrews is saying some of the very same things my parents said to me and then I said to my children. So we're going to look at four different things or different phrases that we say as parents or maybe has been said to us from our parents that I believe the author in Hebrews is saying as well. Here's the first one. I'm doing this because, who wants to finish it for me? I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. So as a child, I remember thinking, yeah, right, you love me, right? If you love me, you'd let me do whatever I wanted and let me get whatever I wanted, right? That's what my mindset was as a child, but as a parent, I look at it very differently. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, as disciples, we need to look at it differently too. When we look at the word discipline, I can't help but think of disciple. Notice how the words are so similar. Go ahead and look at this back screen. Discipline and disciple. See, it's training for obedience. Discipleship means discipline. Maybe I'll even be so bold to say that without discipline, we can't be disciples. And verse 7 tells us that the reason God disciplines is because we are his children. God is a disciplinarian. And the discipline that he provides is because he has a personal relationship with us. He loves us. Let me say that again. God is a disciplinarian. And the discipline that he provides is because of his personal relationship with us. He loves us. Listen, if you ever want to feel like your life is flashing before your eyes, get into the car with a new driver. I have one of those right now. And I have to admit, I'm not a good passenger. I'm just not a good passenger, and I'm an even worse driving instructor because I struggle to stay calm when I think I might die. You know, like, she's like, Mom, stop, like, you know, and it's a natural reaction when I feel like my life is flashing before my eyes, right? But Emily gets frustrated with me because I'm constantly giving her corrections as she's driving, right? So I might say, keep more distance from the car ahead of you, or you're too far left, stay in your lane, right? Or slow down, you're going 35 and you're supposed to be 20 going 25, right? I might say, take the turns a little slower, or that turn was too slow, you gotta take it faster, right? And there was one time it was a really long drive from Walmart, and she says to me, Mom, just stop it already. And I replied, honey, if I don't give you instructions, I know it's annoying. I know it's frustrating. But if I don't give you instructions, I'm trying to prevent an accident that could be deadly. And without my instructions, your life is at stake, my life is at stake, somebody else's life is at stake, and I need to give you directions that you could become a good driver. On a side note, she is becoming a great driver. But my direction to her, my discipline, comes from a place of protection and not from a place of condemnation. And the quicker that we can get our kids to realize that, the better they understand and learn. And I believe that's true for us as well. The quicker we can take the discipline and understand that God's discipline to us is because he loves us and he wants what's best for us. God's ultimate role as our Father is to make us like his Son. And God lovingly disciplines his children to train them and to become spiritual champions. And if the Lord didn't love us, he wouldn't care what we did. And just like we want what's best for our children, God wants what's best for us. Let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. It says this. Let me get to it really quick. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says this. It says, "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." God's discipline is not displeasure, but favor. Right? Here's a second thing we say as parents, or maybe has been told to us by our parents. Ready? Rules are there for a reason. And this is for your own. Yep. See, you don't even need the screen. See, parenting doesn't come with a handbook. I remember coming home with my child or my children after they were born. And I'm like, okay, now what? And parenting doesn't come with a handbook. And as parents, we try our best to teach our kids what's good, what's right. But God is doing what is best for us. All the time. What is best for us to live holy lives for eternity. So boundaries and rules from the Lord are not designed to suck all the fun out of life, but they're there to protect us and to keep us holy. Hebrews, if we were to read on chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, it says this: "Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, should we submit even more to discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness." I have a dog. His name is Tucker. He's almost 10 years old. There's a picture of him on the screen. He's a little Yorkie. He's cute, but poor dog. He's 90% blind. He's really declined in the last few years, or actually even in the last 6 months since we've moved here. And poor dog, he's still full of energy. And so when someone comes at the door, he's barking and jumping and is really excited, but he can't see. So we have steps that lead to the lower level of our house right by the front door. And so when he gets a little too excited, we hear a thump, 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 because poor Tucker just falls right down the steps. So we have talked about putting a gate there so that when someone comes to the door and he starts barking, at least there's something there to keep him from going down the steps, right? See, none of you would think that's crazy. Like, that doesn't seem unrealistic or absurd for us to put this fence at the steps so to keep him from falling down the stairs, right? And he isn't allowed to go down the stairs on his own, because we know that if he does, he's going to fall and possibly become seriously injured. And no one in this room would ever question why we would put a fence up. So it makes complete sense for us to do that. So why is it that we would question when the Lord is disciplining us? Why do we push against the obstacles that he placed there? That he placed there for our own good and our own protection. That's discipline. Here's a third thing we say as parents: I'm not asking you to like it. I'm asking you to obey. And the second part of that is, one day you'll understand. Mm-hmm. I seem to use this phrase the most, because as a parent, when I use this phrase, I'm usually standing against defiance, right? But Mom, anybody ever say that? But God, I kind of said that right as we were starting the service and the front screen wouldn't work. Sometimes if I'm not careful, I find myself debating the discipline. And Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." If we were to look at the word "trained" there in the Greek, it literally means, it translates as vigorously, or vigorous exercise. Vigorous exercise. The late Tom Landry, former coach of the Dallas Cowboys — any Cowboys fans here? I know there's a few. Yeah. he said this: "The job of a coach is to make players do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be." I'm going to say that again, because you can't all read it up here with me, and sometimes it doesn't calculate. I'm going to say it one more time. Listen. The job of a coach is to make players do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. An athlete must strive to improve their abilities. They understand that the suffering is temporary compared to the gain and the reward that they will receive afterwards. See, when we watch the Olympics here in a week or two, whenever it is, we're watching what they've been, we don't see everything that happened prior to the Olympics. All we see is the final product. But the truth is, they've been working hard for practically all of their lives to get to the point of that level to be in the Olympics. Likewise, our spiritual lives, it can flourish as we recognize challenges as signs of God's guidance and of his discipline. We're going to watch a clip here in a minute, so I know it's uncomfortable, but if you can, go ahead and turn yourselves. It's about 4 minutes long. Here's a clip of a movie that is called Greater, if you've seen that movie. It's a true story of an example of faith and determination of a football player who wanted to play football at the University of Arkansas. Go ahead and take a look.
You with me?
Yes, sir. Two brothers, one pile of manure, and one brother doesn't want to do it.
Right. And the second brother says to the first one, "What are you doing? Why are you digging so hard?" And the first brother says, "With a pile of manure like this, I figure there's got to be a horse under here somewhere." Now, I don't know if you belong here or not. And I won't know until you lose some weight. And I mean a whole lot of weight. Who knows? Maybe underneath all this manure, there just might be a horse in there somewhere.
I'll do whatever you say, Coach. You tell me to do it, and I'll do it.
Good. So after their gut's gone, we got to put all that weight back on, except this time it's going to be muscle. Whole lot of muscle, that means a whole lot of work. You up for it?
Yes, sir, all the way.
Come on, see where we're at. Oh boy, son. I want biscuits and gravy.
Hey. Hey. There you go. You almost had it. Hey.
Listen, if I can teach my son how to walk, I can teach you these steps. You can do it.
Let's go! got your butt kicked by a walk-on.
Coach, I've played against walk-ons. That is no walk-on.
No pain, no gain. No one likes discipline. No one likes to go through heartache and pain. And let me make this clear, we have a choice to obey it or not to. We can accept discipline or not. God doesn't produce evil, but he does allow people to choose evil. It's the gift of free will. And evil and sin are often a result of someone's unwillingness to obey or to be disciplined. And God permits trials and sufferings to occur, but he will use it so that his people might turn from evil and grow in holiness. Some of the best lessons I've learned are results of the most pain I've suffered. Who here would testify to that? There were times where I felt betrayed, and God taught me that people of this world will fail me, but his love is consistent and constant. He also taught me that the truth always comes out. And when I experienced abandonment, God taught me that he would never leave me and that he would never forsake me. And when I started to lose focus and worry about things that I had no business worrying about, God reminded me to stay in my lane and to keep my eyes on him. And with each of these situations, God used it as a way to draw me close to him and experience his sovereignty. So, with each of these situations, God will use it to draw you close to him. See, the truth is we deserve death. Death would be our punishment. But because of his great love for us, Jesus took that punishment for us on the cross. So that when bad things happen, it's not God getting back at us. Sometimes our actions do have natural consequences, and we have to live with those. But God will use it if you let him. These difficult, painful things in life to teach us and to train us. Pastor Carey, as I spoke with him this week on this topic, he said this: the fact that he doesn't allow us to stray away from him is love in action. He doesn't ignore us. He comes after us to keep us right in his sight. Listen, I have said this to my own children when I've seen them straying away or going in the wrong direction. I will look them straight in the face, and you can ask them this because I've said this to them many times. I said, I love you so much that I will use whatever means possible, whatever means, to keep you from going in this direction and to help you learn and understand, because I love you so much. I can't let you go down this route. Whatever means. Romans 5, verse 3 through 5 says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. And how we respond to discipline becomes a crossroads for our spiritual growth and our maturity. We typically choose to respond in three ways. Here's the first way. We can resist it. We can fight against God's discipline, refusing to accept his guidance. It's our free will. This is like a child who's throwing a tantrum, stubbornly insisting on their own way. Anyone experience one of those? You don't have to be two to throw a tantrum, you know that? I've thrown a few I was going to tell you my age, but I've thrown a few. And when we resist or we become offended by discipline, the opportunity to grow And to learn from the experience is what we're giving up, right? We're giving up that opportunity to grow and to learn when we throw a tantrum or get offended by the discipline. Here's the second way we can respond. We can accept it grudgingly. Sometimes we accept God's discipline, but we do so with a resentful heart. And this is like a child obeying the parents, but they're grumbling the whole time. So I remember my oldest child, she was about 13, and I had asked her to empty the dishwasher. And, you know, she was like, okay. And she started emptying the dishwasher. And I was like, did she just empty the dishwasher? And I only had to tell her one time. I was like, that's amazing. So, you know, as a mom, you take those opportunities for praise. And I'm like, Haley, I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for emptying the dishwasher without complaining. And she looked at me and she said, well, thanks, but the truth is I'm complaining in my head. And while we may go through the motions, our attitude can prevent us from fully benefiting from God's discipline, because maybe we're just grumbling in our head. And here's a third way, the way that I believe our Lord and Savior wants us to respond. We can embrace it willingly. The most beneficial response is to embrace God's discipline with a willing heart. And when we trust that His discipline is for our good and we lean into it, we can grow and we can mature. And this is like a child who understands their parents' rules and that they understand that it's for protection and for their well-being and follows them with a trusting and positive attitude. I've often said and shared that my first daughter helped God use to save me. And my second daughter, God used to sanctify me, though they've both seriously been used. No, they both also made me seriously consider losing my religion, or at least my sanity, right? And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 2004, but it took me 4 years to really grasp what it meant to live as a Christian. The Holy Spirit was working on me, but I didn't fully commit to becoming a disciple and allowing that transformation to occur until 2007. And in the fall of 2007, I had lost a child through a miscarriage at about 15 weeks pregnant. I had just was about to start a new school year. I was a teacher at the time, and I'd just gotten all of my maternity clothes out. And I found out that I was going to miscarry. And that was probably the first time in my life that I questioned the Lord, that I even questioned His existence. I questioned His goodness. I questioned His love for me. It was the first time I cried out in anger to the Lord. I was mad. I mean, I remember yelling as if He were right there with me, sitting right there. And I remember thinking, God is punishing me for all the wrong I had done. I feel like that's a response we sometimes have when difficult things come our way. God is punishing me for something that I've done. And I found a few months later that I was pregnant again, but this time I was really nervous and every little thing I was concerned about because I had gone through a miscarriage. And I started to feel something that was wrong, and the doctor called for an ultrasound. And when they did the ultrasound, he said I had something called a blighted ovum. And if you've never heard of that, it pretty much means I was kind of pregnant. a blighted ovum is when a fertilized egg implants into the uterine lining, but it doesn't develop into an embryo, right? So I was kind of pregnant. And he informed me that there was probably a 98% chance that I would miscarry again. And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me, God. I mean, wasn't the first time punishment enough to have given me a child and taken it, and now you're gonna do it again? Really? Twice? So the doctor told me, go ahead and let's see what happens through the weekend. This was on a Friday. It was a really long weekend, by the way. And on Sunday night, With a torturous weekend of wondering, I was laying in bed, and the Lord clearly said to me, open to Matthew 14. Now, you have to remember that I was a baby Christian. I could not navigate my way through the Word. I couldn't tell you the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it took me a while to get to Matthew 14. And I remember saying to Brian, I have no idea. I feel like I need to get up and open up Matthew 14. So I did. And when I started reading Matthew 14, it was the beheading of John the Baptist. I was like, great, thanks, God. That's perfect. Such an encouraging scripture to give to me. And he said, keep reading. So I did. And as I kept reading, I started to read the story of Jesus walking on water. And we all know the story. Peter, after seeing Jesus walking on water, joins him on the water. But when the wind and the waves came, Peter goes out into the water to join him. And as the wind and the waves came, it became uneasy, right? So as he started to sink, Jesus grabbed his hand and he said, you have so little faith. Why do you doubt me? Okay. Monday morning, I went into my doctor's office. They did some blood work. The numbers weren't looking good. There was a doctor there that said, you know what? Let's just do another ultrasound. Let's just see what happens. Okay. And I just knew it was going to be bad news. And she laughed. And she said, you know, it's interesting that they said that there was no baby in here because there were two. And one is still fighting. And Emily is still a fighter. And just like Peter had said at that moment, I had the same response. Jesus really is the Son of God. And several months later, Emily was born, and now she's driving. And in that moment, God was using the suffering in my life to help me learn and to understand that he was in control, not me. To have faith in his plan, and his lesson to me was a lesson I'm still learning today, that he uses situations, and he's going to use them to teach me. I learned to trust in him, in his guidance, to rely on his strength, that he was in control. Pastor Rick Ezell said this, when God disciplines us, he isn't getting back at us, he's drawing us back to him. God's chastening is not his rejection, it's proof of his great love for us. I'm going to be real quick, I'm almost done here. The last phrase that parents say, and you could all say it with me, it hurts me more. As a child, I didn't understand when my parents said that, but as a parent now, I realize that there's no greater joy than seeing my children enjoy life. Being with their friends, laughing at the kitchen island, just having a good time. And it kills me when I can't see them enjoy those things. It really does hurt me more than it hurts them. And God wants to give his children the very best. I can't imagine the pain that he must have when I choose to take my eyes off of him. It's easy to see life's blessings and feel loved by God, but like children with maturity, we realize that discipline is also a sign that, as my former pastor and mentor used to say, that God is desperately in love with you and with me. As I was communicating with Jesse, who led worship today about the last song, Jesse suggested ending with a battle song. And I admit I was a bit confused at first, so I said, Jesse, help me understand why you want to use a battle song at the end of the service here. And his response was this, and it was too good not to share. And I'm going to read exactly what he texted me. Reading the passage in Hebrew leaves me asking the question, what are we being disciplined for? I would say the whole purpose of this is for war. God wants us to be ready for battle and to stay disciplined. Otherwise, we are lost in the skirmish of life. We want the same for our own kids. If we could be with our kids every minute, we would protect them from everything in this world that can hurt them, but we can't. So all we can do is prepare them for battle like our Father in heaven does for us. How can we possibly battle the enemy if we aren't disciplined and trained to be like our Heavenly Father? Ever see an undisciplined army? Can't defeat the enemy. And I don't know about you, but I want it to be so that as the movie ended, I want Satan and his army to look at me and say exactly what that football player said. That's no walk-on. That's no walk-on. Not everyone in this room is experiencing God's discipline right now, but some are. And if you know God's love, and you can be sure that you will experience his discipline in the future if it's not at this very moment. And as we draw to a close today, I want to remember that discipline, while often uncomfortable and challenging, is a profound expression of God's love for us. Consider this: every trial, every correction, every moment of discomfort is an opportunity for growth. It's an invitation to become more like Jesus, to deepen our faith, to strengthen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And when we face hardship, let's not resist it or accept it grudgingly, but instead, let's embrace it willingly, knowing that it is for our ultimate good and for God's glory. One clear sign that my children learned their lesson, that's how I knew that they understood what they were being disciplined for, was their ability to articulate back to us what they did wrong and why they were being corrected. And this connection between behavior and correction is essential. And today, I want to invite you to do the same thing with your Heavenly Father. What is he telling you today? What correction does he want you to be aware of, and how are you going to respond? Just as we could hold a family meeting in our living room and we'd say, let's talk about your behavior. I want to encourage you this morning that these altars perhaps could be God's living room. You could have a very similar conversation with God this morning. Ask yourself, are you willing to listen, to learn, and to grow from his loving guidance? See, as parents, we don't get it right 100% of the time, but God gets it right 100% of the time. There are times I disciplined too easy. There are times I disciplined too hard. But God gets it right all the time. So perhaps the altar is God's living room today. And I know this church, you're a bit shy when it comes to doing something out of the ordinary. But this is a sacred place where you could lay down your burdens, seek his correction if you open your heart for transformation. So as the team plays this next song, let's take a moment to reflect and to talk about our behavior with God, yeah? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a God who loves us so much, that you're willing to discipline us, that when times get tough, when situations are hard, you're using it as training to prepare us for the battle. Lord, I pray that in this room today, that you would just speak to the hearts and minds of those who are sitting here listening and who are leaning into your word today. That they would be reminded that you are a God who's desperately in love with them. And that they would be willingly accepting your discipline. That they would hear your correction and your direction and do just as their coach tells them to do. That the enemy would know that we're not just walk-ons, we've been walking with Jesus. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.com. www.walkons.org.